Hey, everybody, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. Andrew Colvett in for Charlie. Today, we have an action-packed hour here where we break down all the ways in which Michael Cohen has had a very bad couple of days, how his testimony doesn't line up, what other witnesses are saying about him, and why it's all a sham trial brought against Donald Trump simply because his name is Donald Trump. Then we break down the inflation numbers that just hit today. How sticky is this inflation? Is it going anywhere? And why is Bidenomics fueling it? We sit down with Scott Bessent, who is being floated as a possible Treasury Secretary under President Trump, should he win in November, who's also the CEO and founder of Key Square Group, who, by the way, has a history with George Soros. Kid you not. He breaks it all down for us and more. You're not going to want to miss it. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of The Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Laura Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
We're going to start with Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen is an absolute dirtbag. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. And when we talk about just what a dirtbag he is, it's truly hard to kind of summarize all those details and just what a scumbag he is. And this is the star witness. I think Charlie tweeted out yesterday that you've got the star witness is a convicted perjurer and a disbarred attorney. And his testimony followed right after Stormy Daniels, an actual porn star. So, you know, this is kind of complicated business. With you know, the Democrats are known for their star power, but it doesn't seem like they have much of it in this case. So one by one, I'm going to go through a couple details because there is so much happening behind closed doors. They're not letting in the press to videotape this. So we have a few photographers. We have press reports. People are trying to follow this, but it's much more difficult to follow along since there isn't recorded video of each of these interactions. But Michael Cohen is currently on the witness stand. He's getting crossed by Trump's attorneys. But yesterday was the first time that the prosecution had a chance to go over all of their case with Michael Cohen, the so-called star witness. But he's had a rough couple of days. This guy has had a rough couple of days. Witness after witness apparently just detests this human being. You've got media reports saying he was sweaty, he was nervous, and everything felt overly rehearsed. And there might be a good reason for why it was so rehearsed. The prosecution realized that they have a dirtbag, a scumbag on the stand, a convicted perjurer, and nothing can go wrong. So this was literally canned answer after canned answer, as if he knew the exact answer he was supposed to give verbatim each time the prosecution would ask him a question. And, you know, that there might be a really good reason for that. Let's play Cut 55, Dan Goldman.
Because he is an admitted perjurer. He is an admitted liar. He has testified inconsistently on the stand. So he's either lying one time or the other. And he will be really skewered on cross-examination for that.
Yeah, so this Dan Goldman is not exactly the most squeaky clean congressman that you could imagine. He is absolute disgrace out of New York, and he's just a total spokeshole for the regime. And yet here Dan Goldman is even admitting this guy has a lot of strikes against him. Not so good. Later in that interview, Dan Goldman says he rehearsed with Michael Cohen. What the heck is Dan Goldman doing rehearsing with Michael Cohen? So he's a grifter. He's a convicted perjurer. He's got no credibility. And you got to hear this Hope Hicks line. This Hope Hicks line, I think, is just so good, so telling. It, you know, to use the words of an MSNBC legal analyst last week talking about Stormy Daniels, I'll use it here. It was a sick burn. She testified that Cohen used to like to call himself Mr. Fix-It, but it was only because he first broke it. Ah, yeah, that's a pretty good line, actually. So apparently Michael Cohen was going around the office saying, I'm Mr. Fix-It, I'm the fixer. And Hope Hicks said this was literally just all in his head. This is what he liked to think of himself. So we then get to this so-called bombshell recording that we've been hearing about. And if you're in this audience, maybe you haven't heard about it because we really didn't care. There's no crime that they're even alleging. So this whole thing is sort of an exercise in vanity. There's no crime. They still might convict him because it's New York. And we have a corrupt judge whose daughter's making money off of getting Trump. But nevertheless, this bombshell was something that the press was reporting. So I'm going to play the bombshell recording for you, and we're going to talk about it. Go ahead and play Cut 56.
I need to open up a company for the transfer of all of that info regarding our friend David, you know, so that I'm going to do that right away. I've actually come up and I've spoken to Alan Weisselberg about how to set the whole thing up with funding. And it's all the stuff, because, you know, you never know where that company, you never know where he's going to be. Correct. So I'm all over that. And I spoke to Alan about it when it comes time for the financing, which will be.
Listen, what financing?
We'll have to. No.
So did you hear that? So Trump literally says, what financing? That's the bombshell. And there is a version that I've seen online where there is subtitles to that. So if you're watching on the stream, I apologize. But he says, what financing? And then he says, no, I got it taken care of. And then Trump says, with cash. But here's the key. Cohen was leading Trump. So Cohen is supposed to be the attorney, and he's leading Trump on a prescription to fix a problem. So Trump is taking advice of counsel. But then there's this other, you know, sort of elephant in the room here, that Michael Cohen is recording his client. Isn't that illegal? Maybe not in the state of New York, but you would think it's at least highly, highly unethical. So that's the bombshell record. Trump didn't even know what financing. He was like, what financing? There's a few other details here that are worth covering. The prosecution tried to link payments, alleged payments, to Karen McDougal, to Stormy Daniels, to establish a pattern of activity. But it turns out there was never any payments to McDougal that were ever made. Then the timeline. The timeline's all over the place. The evidence proves that the Trump camp knew about the Stormy Daniels extortion attempt well before the campaign ever kicked off. So before Trump came down the golden escalator. And then the reimbursement payments were not made until well after the 2016 election. And by the way, they were not made from campaign accounts, which is the whole allegation here, at least as we can understand it. Nobody seems to know what the actual crime is because he's not been convicted for a federal crime. Then there's this, which I think should be the entire kit and caboodle. Cohen has stated now on the stand that the payment was lawful and not a campaign contribution. Doesn't this end the case right there? This is a man who's lied to Congress. He's admitted lying on the witness stand before. He's a convicted perjurer. He's lied to the IRS. He's lied to his banker. He's lied to his client. This is a scumbag, disbarred attorney, and it's the prosecution's star witness. There is no there there. There's no there there. And in the words of Fareed Zakaria, if his name wasn't Donald Trump, this case would never have been brought. And that is the truth.
Hey, this is Charlie Kirk, and I know a lot of you have been suffering under the Biden economy. Recently, school loan payments have been reinstated, and for many, it's adding thousands to their monthly expenses. My friends, Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian, they're amazing. They really helped me through a tough situation recently. They've been excellent. They're ethical. They're just really great people. They're followers of Jesus Christ, and our worldviews are the same. I love them. And so please go to andrewandtodd.com. Interest rates are coming down, and they may be able to lower your overall payment. In fact, one of our team members said, Charlie, is it time to me to own a home? I sat down. I went through the numbers. I said, get in the owner game. Honestly, enough renting. You are burning your money renting. It might be a little bit more to own, but you're building equity. That's money you'll have for the rest of your life. Perhaps a reverse mortgage is a perfect solution. It's about expertise you could trust in times like this. I can't tell you how helpful they've been for me personally. They've just been excellent. Andrew and Todd, I'm honored to call them friends. We hang out when I go to Orange County together. They're really great. So say, Charlie sent me 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. They helped me through a mortgage situation recently that was super complex and moving pieces, and it was really, really tough. And other banks, by the way, wanted nothing to do with it, and they crushed it for me. 10 out of 10. AndrewandTodd.com. So check it out right now, AndrewandTodd.com.
So first of all, I learned a lot from being in there in person. It is one of the most depressing places I have been in my life, but it is fitting because the only thing more depressing than the environment of that courtroom is what's actually happening in there. It's straight out of a Kafka novel. The prosecution's main strategy appears to be to bore the jurors into submission. And if you look in that direction, sadly, it may appear to actually be working. Now, I would like for anybody here in the press, anybody at home, anybody in MSNBC or the media afterwards, to clearly state what exactly is the crime that Donald Trump committed. I'll wait.
That's Vivek Ramaswamy, who was pictured flanking Donald Trump heading into the courtroom this morning. It was also Byron Donalds, Doug Burgum. And yesterday we had J.D. Vance. I think Ken Paxton was the first sort of national conservative that was joining President Trump in that trial. Just to be moral support. I think it's great optics. I love it. I think everybody should that is supporting this president, that has a national platform, should make a pilgrimage over to New York, get behind President Trump, show them that the people are behind him. Now, it's funny. I was checking the email at freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Keep sending them as the show goes on. We check them as we go. A lot of you are dazzled at the blizzard of information that I threw at you in the first segment. I apologize. It's just, there is, to Vivek's point, they're trying to bore the jurors into submission. So their eyes roll over. They glaze over. It's hard to keep up with all these details. But the details are important because time and time again, they reveal that this is a sham kangaroo court. And to quote Vivek right there, it's Kafkaesque. The key thing here is to emphasize the kangaroo nature of this court itself. Trump is charged with covering up a crime he's never been charged with. And in a city where Soros-funded Alvin Bragg, has literally been the architect of a massive crime wave and downgraded multiple felonies, 50% of felonies down to misdemeanors, he's upgraded a misdemeanor to a felony here, based on a federal statute that Trump has never been charged with. This is crazy. I mean, there's no other way to say it other than this is crazy. So I promised you a clip. This is Rep. Dan Goldman, New York congressman, heir to the Levi's fortune, one of the most disgraceful congressmen that you will ever encounter. He's literally a spokesman. They give him a little talking sheet and he's like, go on CNN, go on MSNBC and say these things. And Dan Goldman probably says, I don't know anything about this. Is this true? Oh, for sure it's true. Don't even check it. Don't even use Google. Just say it. Because if you say it, then, you know, we can put it on air. It's complete propaganda. It's utter spin. It's gross. The man is gross. If you just look at him, it just gives you the heebie-jeebies. Go with your gut on that, by the way, as an aside. If you meet somebody like a Dan Goldman that just makes you feel creepy, gives you that weird ick, just run away. Play Cut 49.
I would echo what Claire said, that, and I have deposed Michael Cohen. I have met with him a number of times to prepare him. This was different testimony than what his demeanor was during the AG's case. This is different than he has been in the past. But the question is not how he is on direct examination. The question is how he is on cross-examination.
All right. So he said one true thing there, and that is that the question is, how is he going to perform on cross-examination? So he's getting grilled right now. So we're going to find out as we go what the details are. But this congressman just admitted on national TV, he went off the talking points, by the way. He left the script, that he has been rehearsing Cohen's testimony. Why? What the heck does a congressman in New York have to do with Cohen's testimony in the Trump trial? And by the way, he did say he's a convicted perjurer. He's a felon. He's a liar. He's a fraud. All of these things. You only rehearse if you're lying. That's the problem. Cohen's told so many lies, he can't keep track of them. Meanwhile, he's marketing this trial on his TikTok live streams, which are hilarious, by the way. Ryan, you should pull some of those. They're hilarious. Wearing a Trump shirt with Trump behind bars, selling merch. This is his big moment to get back at his boss, who was so good to him. He's even admitted on the stand he loved working there. And now he's going to get him. They're literally threatening our civilization with this guy. Consider that.
Folks, so many people I know are disheartened that our country seems to have forgotten the importance of citizenship, and they wonder how a strong sense of citizenship might be revived. That's why my friends at Hillsdale College have produced a free online course on this topic, American Citizenship and Its Decline. Taught by historian Victor Davis Hanson, the course traces the history of citizenship and explains how it is undermined in America today by open borders, by identity politics, by the administrative state, and by globalization. Americans taking the course will gain a deeper insight about the connection between citizenship and freedom, an insight they can share with their family members, friends, and neighbors. Hillsdale's free online courses are an important component of Hillsdale's mission to reach and teach increasing millions of people on behalf of liberty and the American way of life. So sign up today for Hillsdale's free online course, American Citizenship and Its Decline, by visiting charlieforhillsdale.com. That is charlieforhillsdale.com. Start your free course today at charlieforhillsdale.com.
I'm going to be joined by a legend of Wall Street, literal legend, Scott Bessent, CEO and founder of Key Square Group. Scott, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure to be on.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. Now, Scott, I am going to get to the inflation news, but I was looking through your bio, and you know, I'd heard so much over the years about George Soros and how he shorted sterling, and it was like, you know, this big story when you're talking about George Soros, who's become such a boogeyman for in our political discourse these days. He's one of the biggest funders of far left causes. And you worked with him.
I did, but I think what's fascinating is that of three CIOs, one is also a very large Trump donor, and one is one of the largest Republican Senate donors. So, we've seen the machine for the inside, and you know, we know what it is.
Wow. Well, that's fascinating. I mean, genuinely curious, and I don't fault you for it. I know you've been very public in your political disagreements with Soros. So, hat tip to that. But let's dive into the numbers here, Scott. So inflation we were told was going to be transitory, and it's proving anything but. So walk our audience through what numbers came out today, and what does it tell us about inflation, how sticky it is, how hot it is?
Yeah, it is. Look, you know, what they call team transitory, that it's just a complete breakdown in analysis. And let's go back to the original sin and then get to where we are now. This was a choice that the Biden administration made. They wanted to spend, and somehow, you know, have magical thinking that this wouldn't lead to inflation. And look, that maybe we could make the case that the original $2 trillion with a T, the CARES Act, during COVID, nobody really knew what was happening. You know, households were unsteady. You know, I don't have that much of a problem with that. But then they piled on we got up to $5 trillion. And then they actually wanted to spend $7 trillion, and that got rolled back. But this just set off the great inflation. And between the Federal Reserve and the Treasury, they've inflicted this on the American people. And I think a good way for your viewers to think about it is if we rewind to under President Trump, why did we have strong non-inflationary growth? So the Trump tax cuts were a private sector solution, and they caused a upward demand shock, but it was met by the supply response of deregulation. So, You had a supply side solution. So really, the inflation never got above 2.2%. Under Biden, we had this, what I think is very unhealthy demand shock generated by government spending. And by the way, we are still running these gigantic deficits. Up until last month, we were adding $1 trillion in debt every 100 days. And
this is a disgrace.
It's a disgrace. But to your question on why does this inflation keep coming back, they're goosing the economy, but they've, rather than decreasing regulation, they've increased regulations. Labor regulation, industry regulation. They've regulated everything except immigration. So there's nothing to stop this upward push. So, we keep getting these bouts of recurring inflation. And, today's inflation tells you, this is what companies pay for, their products. We'll get CPI tomorrow. I don't know whether the number is going to be, hot, in line. The important thing to think about is what is the accumulated price level? What are American households paying for, since Biden came in office? And it's about 20% higher, and wages haven't kept up with that. And a friend of mine, Jason Trenard, at a firm called Strategus, it has something that he calls the everyman basket. And regular inflation is up 20%. His everyman basket, which is just things that people have to have, groceries, insurance, auto, that's up 28%. So, this is why, Americans are in a crunch. And, I know, a lot of your audience are younger people. And younger people are really in this bind too. Is I'm sure you've seen the surveys of people under 40 think that they'll never be able to own a home, and or people are having to go under their credit cards to just finance living expenses.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And actually, I think, you know, we've seen some interesting polling data this election cycle, Scott. We've seen that actually Trump is up with young people. And we have a great Van Jones clip, actually, Ryan, if you could flag that for me, where he says the reason that young people are actually polling more negatively towards Biden right now than before is largely because they're struggling with pocketbook issues as well. The economy feels out of reach. There's never been an underlying economic environment that so favors incumbent advantage as this, at least in my lifetime. That's certainly true. So if, you know, when you look at the way boomers are actually soft for Trump as opposed to previous elections, which is causing a lot of people to scratch their heads. I'm having a lot of offline conversations about why are boomers a little soft this time with Trump? Well, Joe Biden keeps saying the economy's working just fine. We have the best economy in the world. Well, if you're an incumbent, meaning if you're of a certain age with a certain asset portfolio and your assets are inflating along with the economy, you're richer than ever. You're more further along than ever. Meanwhile, those that are trying to get into the financial upward ladder of success, namely buying a home, buying assets, private equity, stocks, bonds, whatever, they're getting ring-fenced out of this economy. And it's, I'm telling you, Scott, if you want to sow the seeds of societal chaos, then you just make sure a whole generation has no stake in the economy of your country.
Yeah, Andrew, I couldn't agree with you more. And look, you know, your generation's gotten, I used to teach economic history at Yale. So I've studied, you know, like how these things happen. And your generation's gotten a bum deal. And when I see these surveys on, you know, like how do young people feel about capitalism? How do they, you know, there's like, you know, a core group who are patriots and believers, but it's easy to see people get discouraged. And you know, you couldn't be more right. Is the top 20% of income and asset owners in America have never done better. Never done better. And you know, that's I like your phraseology, incumbents, because you know, in Joe Biden's America, there are two kinds of people. There are people with assets and people without assets and debt. And the asset inflation that we've gotten, you know, that's driven by like the Federal Reserve and Treasury spend and propping up asset prices. But as a result of propping up the asset prices, they've had to keep interest rates high and inflation stay high. So, you know, I'm just so tired of hearing, you know, the Paul Krugmans, the Alan Blinders, the Greg Ipp in the Wall Street Journal saying, you know, Americans don't understand how good they have it. Well, look, I'm in the top 20%. It's great. I'm 61 years old. I got a house. I got a stock portfolio. Good times are rolling. Everybody else, whether it's interest cost, I don't know if you've seen these statistics, is average car payment is up 80%. And that is a combination.
I haven't heard that one.
Yep. 80% for the same car. So car prices may be up 15%, but because interest rates are up, it throws that. House prices are up 50, but monthly payments for the same house are up 300%. Right. Like,
yes.
You know, this just isn't sustainable.
Yeah, absolutely. And Scott, I'm going to play this Van Jones clip that I mentioned before. 29. This is young people are getting blocked from the economic success that their parents have. And this is the first time in American history we can say this so definitively. It's really a tragedy. People need to have their eye on it. 29.
That's some paragraph about swing state polls a few months before the election, Van.
Yeah, I mean, it should be a wake up call. Young people are upset, and it's not just the situation in Gaza. The economic prospects for young people are miserable. It's not, and that's been building under Obama. It's been building under Trump. It's building under Biden. We just do not have a pathway for young people to be able to pay off their student debt, get a house. People are looking at this AI wave and are worried about, you know, what job, what career path. And so that pain has to be spoken to directly and specifically.
I'm going to correct Van Jones on one thing there. Under Trump, we had the blue collar boom. The lowest 10%, their wages were rising faster than the top 10%. So, Van Jones, you're wrong. You had it under Obama. You didn't have it under Trump. Now you have it in earnest under Joe Biden.
Yeah. And Andrew, you know, the imagine what the lower 10, lower 25% wages would be with President Trump's immigration policy that the Democrats, led by Biden, have flooded the zone for working class wage suppression. That's the only thing that's not inflating or working class wages. Is imagine how well the working class would be doing. And, you know, I couldn't agree more. Is look, under President Trump, the big companies did well, the rich did well, working people did well, and small business did well. And, you know, it was strong non-inflationary growth. And, you know, we'll see what the inflation number is tomorrow, hot, cold, whatever.
Yep.
I think it's just too late.
You might have heard Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of this cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly onto you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, and some of you may not even know about it. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel set, $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, their premium MyPillows with the all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425 today. That is promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk.
I want to play a clip. You were talking about the immigration side of things and basically how Bidenomics is failing. So they're cooking the books with a growth. They call it growth, Scott, through this large influx of immigration. We call them invaders on this show. Play cut 57.
I would also point to a fairly large influx of immigration into the country over the past couple of years. Those people are joining the labor force. We're experiencing still a labor shortage in many industries, and so there are jobs, and they're going to work and they're consuming. So that's also boosting growth.
A fairly large influx, he says. He's choosing his words very precisely there, Scott. Fairly large influx. Yeah, 10 to 12 million by the time Biden's done. Maybe 15 million, according to some estimates. You made a point, I want you to reiterate it. What is that doing to average working Americans? What is that influx of cheap labor doing?
Look, you know, it's interesting now that Jerome Powell is saying that it's helping keep wages down, because for 10, 15 years, kind of this selective academic research said that somehow the market in the world where supply and demand don't work, where the laws of supply and demand are suspended, is the U.S. labor market related to immigration. Of course, more supply pushes down wages. And, you know, what Chair Powell, in an amazing piece of sophistry there, is saying is, yes, it's pushing up the, you know, economic growth. But Americans shouldn't care about economic growth. What we care about is per capita economic growth. So per capita and per household economic growth is dropping. It's dropping. So, you know, this is low quality growth. And I just keep going back to the, you know, could you imagine what low end wages would be doing under President Trump's immigration policies? And, you know, when he said there's a labor shortage, I guarantee you at the proper salary level, people would come running back into the workforce, But, you know, they always say, well, the jobs that Americans don't want to do is what gets taken up. You know, it's jobs at a price. maybe not at $10 an hour, maybe not at 15, but at 25. Well, so like this does not represent.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, my family, blue collar family, middle class American family, that, you know, my dad worked for a tow truck when he was growing up. He was a rancher. I mean, all of my family did jobs that so-called Americans don't want to do. And what kind of message does that send to a whole generation, by the way? I just, from a moral standpoint, I'm not even talking economics here, where we tell a whole generation of Americans, you don't do those jobs. Those are for immigrants. I mean, what a terrible work ethic you're going to establish in a whole generation. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, you know, and Andrew, what I'm worried about here is, look, you know, legal, orderly, the immigration. And, you know, I think in the U.S., that's normally 1.1, 1.3 million a year. You know, it's good. It's necessary. It's helpful to the economy. But you know, this disorderly, the chaotic situation at the border, I actually think is backfiring on the you know, it is making average Americans anti-immigration. And you know, I think all of us are in favor of people who follow the rules. You know, I just brought in, you know, it's incredible. The 8 or 9 years ago, I brought in my French mother-in-law, and, you know, she had married a GI. She was 87 years old. She married a GI after World War II, has three American children, gets American Social Security, and we brought her back over from France. For an 87-year-old woman, it cost us $20,000 in paperwork, and they made an 87-year-old woman take a tuberculosis test and a VD test to get her green card. That's what coming in the front door looks like.
You get penalized for doing it the right way. It's an absolute pleasure. We'll see you soon, Scott. Thanks so much.
Good. Thanks for all you guys are doing.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If what we do here on the show means anything to you, if you get something out of it, please consider joining our members.charliekirk.com portal. That's members.charliekirk.com. Become a monthly subscribing member. Get Charlie's weekly column that's made exclusively just for you. And behind the scenes footage, exclusive access to our AMAs, get on the radio, get access to our episodes without ads. We love our advertisers, but that's a nice little bonus. So please consider joining members.charliekirk.com, members.charliekirk.com. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.